Good morning. Today's daf is Gittin daf Mem Aleph. We left off yesterday Mem Amud Beis at the Mishnah toward the bottom of the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Le'a Shalom. And we thank Dr. Lander very much for his continued sponsorship of the shiur. Today we are going to cover two primary topics. We're going to hit two Mishnayos, God willing, over the course of today's shiur. So we're going to start with a discussion of what happens if a master makes his eved in apotiki. In apotiki means that he designates him as collateral. So what happens if the master designates the eved as collateral, and then the Mishnah is very vague as to what exactly happens here, but somebody frees the eved, and what we say in the Mishnah is that minadin, the eved isn't chayiv anything, because the eved didn't free himself, somebody else freed the eved, but because of tikkun olam, we force the master and we make him a ben chorin. So who do we force? We're going to have to see in the Gemara. And then somebody writes a shtar on the value of the eved. So somebody has to basically pay for the value of the eved. Again, the Mishnah is very vague as to who does what. So we're going to read the Mishnah. It's not going to be very illuminating. Then we'll see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain to us what exactly is happening here with this whole discussion. We're then going to segue into a discussion in the Gemara about what happens if you designate something as collateral for a loan. Let's say you designate a field as collateral, and then the field is destroyed. So is the lender out of luck? Is the lender allowed to collect from a different field, or is the lender limited in his rights of collection only to that field? We're going to see it depends on what type of collateral you designate, whether it's sort of an all assets lien and you've simply identified this field as a potential source of repayment as potential collateral, or if it's like a non-recourse loan and you identify this piece of property as the only source of repayment. We're going to see the halacha may be different as between the two. Then on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, we are going to get to a Mishnah, which we already alluded to yesterday, and this is the famous Mishnah of what happens if an Eved is a Chatzi Eved v'Chatzi Ben Chorin. So let's say he's owned by two people, he's owned by partners, one of them frees the Eved, the other has not yet freed the Eved. What happens? So we're going to see that originally Beis Hillel said that, okay, so the Eved works for the master one day, and the Eved works for himself the other day, because he's only a Chatzi Eved. Beis Shammai said, no, this Eved is an impossible predicament because the Eved can't marry anybody. He can't marry a Shefcha because he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. He can't marry a Bas Chorin because he's a Chatzi Eved. So what are you going to do? He's not going to be able to have kids. He's not going to be able to get married. So they said that really what should happen is that we're going to force the other master who never released his Eved, who never freed his Eved, to free the Eved. And this is one of the Zakonos because of Tikkun Olam, and then we are going to discuss that concept on the entirety of Amud Beis. How we know that there is a concept of a Chatzi Eved, a Chatzi Ben Chorin, etc., etc. So again, two major topics. First, Apotiki, and then the Sugya of Chatzi Eved, a Chatzi Ben Chorin. So says the Mishnah toward the bottom of Mem Amud Beis. So Eved Shaso Rabbi Apotiki. So if you have an Eved whose master made him into an apotiki, the master designated him as collateral. As Rashi said, he said to the borrower, said to the lender, listen, if I don't repay your this obligation that I owe you from somewhere else, Hare ze lefanecha legvosa. So you can collect from this piece of collateral, you can collect from this Eved. Zevich hasa rabbi apotiki l'acherim v'shichraro, and somebody freed the Eved. We're going to see who. So shuras adin ein Eved chayev klum. So mikir adin, the Eved is not chayev anything, because the Eved didn't do anything. Oh, the Zoom is reconnecting. So it was working, but now it's not working. Thank you, David. Oh, we're back, I think. Actually, if you don't mind giving me your phone, that would be best. Thank you very much. With an assist to David Haber, who is back here from Israel and sensitive to the plight of the Zoomer. So thank you. So basically what we had said in the Mishnah was Evich Oso Rabbi Apotiki La'Cherim, right? You have the master who made his slave into an apotiki, into a piece of designated him as security. as collateral. V'shichar ro, somebody freed the eved. So shurus din eved chayev klum. So really, the eved is not chayev anything because he didn't do anything. The master freed him. Elavim ne tikkun olam kofenes rabavoso ben chorin. But because of tikkun olam, we force the master and we make him free the slave. Who has to free the slave? We're going to see in the Gemara. V'kosef shtar al damav, and then he has to write a shtar al damav. So there's a lot of pronouns, but no definition around these pronouns. So we don't know who's doing what. The Gemara is going to tell us everything. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer ain't a kosev el meshachver. That it's not the eved who has to write the shtar al damav, it's the meshachver. It's the person who freed the eved who has to write the shtar al damav, because the eved didn't do anything. The eved here is very passive in this whole story. All he did was he was made into collateral. Other people freed him, and therefore it's the other people who are going to have to write a shtar on his value. So let's see what the Gemara says. The Gemara is going to elaborate all this, and the Gemara is going to enlighten us as to what exactly this whole Mishnah meant. Says the Gemara, first of all, Mishecharo, who freed the Eved? So says the Gemara, Amarav Rabba Rishon. So the first master freed the Eved, Rabba Rishon. So in other words, Reuven had an Eved. Reuven designated the Eved as collateral to Shimon because Shimon loaned money to Reuven. Then Reuven went ahead and freed the Eved. So Reuven did something not so nice because Reuven designated the Eved as collateral for Shimon to be able to collect the loan from. But then in the interim, Reuven freed the Eved. So Shurus Adin Eina Eved Chayev Klom L'Rabosheni. Really, the Eved doesn't know anything, doesn't owe anything to the Rabbo Sheni. Why? Because the Rabbo Sheni is Shimon, the lender who had the Eved designated as collateral in order for him to collect his loan. So the way it works, says Rashi, when you designate something as collateral, the person who benefits from the collateral doesn't own the collateral yet. The collateral just stands there and is available for collection in the event that the borrower defaults on the loan. But the borrower hasn't defaulted on the loan yet, and therefore the lender doesn't own the collateral. So really, if Reuven designated the Eved as collateral, and then Reuven frees the Eved never belonged to Shimon. The Eved never belonged to the lender, and therefore really the Eved's not chai of anything to that second master, Kedarava. The Amar Rava, because Rava says, a famous mimer, Hektish Chametz Vishikhrur Mafkiyin Midei Shibud, that if something, if a certain item is designated as collateral, and then one of three things happen, either you are Maktish the item, the owner of the piece of collateral is Maktish the item to Hektish, or the item is Chametz, and we're going to see from Rashi what situation this is talking about, or shichrur, or if the person who designated the item as collateral is meshachrer the collateral, then mafkia midei shiba, then it releases something from it releases that item from shibud. So what's the case of hektish? Even though we're talking about the case of shichur in the Gemara, but let's just spend a minute to talk about the case of hektish and the case of chametz. So hektish, says Rashi, is let's say Reuven made his shor, made his ox in apotiki for Shimon, for a loan that he owed to Shimon ve'ektisho, and then he's maktish the ox. Kedushas Aguf. Rashi says that he's maktish the ox with Kedushas Aguf to the Mizbeach, and that it's dafka if he's maktish with Kedushas Aguf. However, if it's Kedushas Damim, if he only is maktish the value of the ox, then the fact that Reuven was maktish the value of the ox doesn't impact the ox itself, right? It just means that he owes that amount of money. So, okay, good. So he owes that amount of money. Fine. But if he's maktish the actual ox, then the ox can no longer serve as a potiki. The ox can no longer serve as collateral because now the ox is hektish. Therefore, it's mafkia lidei shibud. Because again, the lender on whose behalf the collateral was designated never really owned the ox. But now that the ox is designated to hektish with kedushas aguf, can no longer serve as collateral. What's the case of chametz? So the case of chametz, Rashi explains like this, that an oved kochavim loaned money to a Jew, and the Jew said, I am going to secure this loan with all the chametz that I have in my house, with the Jew's own chametz. So the Akum, the Oved Kochavim, loans money to the Jew. The Jew says, I'm designating all of my chametz as collateral. Then Pesach comes. The problem is, the Jew never relinquished possession of the chametz, nor did the Jew ever really sell his chametz to the guy. He just said that I'm designating it as collateral, but we've already said that even if you designate something as collateral, it doesn't transfer ownership to the other guy. So because it doesn't transfer ownership to the other guy, the chametz is still considered to be in possession of this Jew. Says Rashi, because the chametz is still in possession of the Jew, it turns out that it's chametz shavar lava pesach. And because it's chametz shavar lava pesach, it's asur ba'anah, therefore chametz is mafkia midei shibud. And then the last case that we're talking about is shichrur. If you designate a slave as collateral, and then you are meshachrer this slave, it's mafkia midei shibud. It breaks, it releases the lien on the collateral. So says the Gemara, so the way Rav interprets this whole thing is Reuven designated the slave as collateral to Shimon. Reuven then freed the slave. The original master then freed the slave. Really, the slave isn't chayav anything to the second guy. The slave isn't chayav anything to the second guy because Shichur is mafkia midei shibud and the second guy never owned a slave. Elam emnei tikkun olam, however, because of tikkun olam, shema yimsenu b'shuk, lest Shimon, the creditor, who had the slave designated as collateral, see the slave in the shuk, v'yomer lo avdiata, turning to mem aleph amid aleph, and say, oh, you're my slave because you were designated as collateral in order to secure my loan. So what's the big deal if he's called a slave? I'm sure people have been called bad things in the shuk. Rashi says it's going to be motzi laz on his children. Because if he's a slave, then his children are not regular Jewish children, and therefore that's going to be a big problem. The Rishonim are bothered. Why does Rashi say that he's going to be motzi laz on his children? He's motzi laz on the guy himself, because an eved is not roy to be lavo lakol. An eved is not roy to be part of the Jewish people. So really, he's doing even worse than being motzi laz on his children. He's actually being motzi laz on the eved himself, on the guy himself. But lest the creditor be motzi laz on the eved and say, oh, you're mine because you were originally designated as collateral to secure my loan. Kofenes rabosheni v'yosos abenchorin. So we force the Shimon, we force the creditor to make the eved a benchorin, even though, again, we said that Shimon never had any kinyan on the eved. So really, there's nothing for Shimon to free. But lest he come and be motzi laz and cast aspersions and say that you're an eved, we're going to force him to write a shtar shechrer. V'kosev eved shtar al damav. And the eved has to write a shtar for his value to compensate Shimon. So the Eved's going to have to basically compensate Shimon. And then says Rashi, says the Gemara rather, Vayter, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein Eved Kosev, Ela Meshachar Kosev. No, the Eved doesn't write anything, because the Eved is a passive bystander. The Eved is innocent. He didn't do a thing. The Rabbi Rishon, Reuven, who designated the Eved as collateral and then freed the Eved, he has to write a shtar to the second master. So Ela Meshachrer Kosev. So says the Gemara, B'mai Kamiflagi. So what exactly are we talking about over here? So what's the machlokas? So the machlokas is b'mazik shibudo shel chavero kamiflagi. We're arguing about somebody who's mazik the shibud of his friend. And over here, Reuven, the Rabbi Rishon, is mazik the shibud of his friend because he designated the slave as collateral for the benefit of Shimon. Reuven was then mazik the shibud by freeing the eved. The question is, when Reuven was mazik the shibud, is he going to be chayev to Shimon or not? Mar savar chayev, umar savar potter. One man, the Amar, says he's chayev, and if he's chayev, that's why the Rabbi Rishon has to write the shtar to the. That's why the Rabbi Rishon has to pay the Rabbi Sheni. And Mar savar potter, and the other man, the Amar, says potter, that the one who's mazik the shibud of his friend is potter from paying his friend, and therefore the Rabbi Rishon is not the one who has to write the shtar al damav. Rather, it's the Eved, even though that doesn't really seem fair. So this machlokes is about Grumma ben Nezikin. It's about somebody who causes indirect damage. Is that person going to be chayev or not? And then we say in the Gemara, so here we see, Itmar Nami, Amazik, Shibudo, Shal Chavero, Bonu, Lamachlokes, Rabban Shimon, Gamliel, V'Rabbanan. So this is Taka, what they're arguing about. They're arguing about whether Mazik Shibudo Shel Chaveiro is going to be chayev or not? If the answer is yes, the person is going to be chayev, then Ruvain, the Rabbi Rishon, has to write the Shtar al Damav. If we're going to say that you're Potter, then Ruvain, the Rabbi Rishon, is not going to have to write the Shtar al Damav, and therefore it's the Eved who's going to have to be Kosev Shtar al Damav. Ula says to Rav, you've got this thing totally backwards. So, Amar Mishachwaro, who was Mishachwar the Eved? It's not Ruvain. It's not Ruvain is the one who designated the slave as an apotekiu, designated the slave as collateral. It is not Ruvain who was Mishachwar the Eved. Rather, Mishachwaro Rabosheni. The Rabosheni, Shimon, the blender over here in this scenario, freed the Eved. Shuras Adin, Ein Eved Chayev Klum Mitzvahs. And what the Gemara means when it says Shuras Adin Ein Eved Chayev Klum, it means that the Eved is not Chayev Mitzvahs. Why? Because the Eved is still an Eved, because Shimon never held title to the slave. All Shimon had was Shimon was a creditor who benefited from this slave being designated as collateral. But Shimon never owned the Eved, so Shimon Shichrer is a fake shichrer. It's a hollow shichrer because he never owned the Eved at all. So says the Gemara, Elabamne Tikkun Olam, however, because of Tikkun Olam, Shere Yasal of Shame Ben Chorin, because people are going to have heard through the rumor mill, they're going to have heard that this slave was free, but they're going to see that the slave is not performing mitzvahs, and therefore, Kofenes Rabo Rishon Viososa Ben Chorin. We're going to force the Rabo Rishon to actually free the slave, we're going to force Ruvain to free the slave, Vekosef Shtar Al Damav. And then Shimon, then somebody, we're going to see who it is. So what it really means is that the Eved has to write a Shtar al Damav to basically pay for himself for the fact that he's now freed. And Rabbi Shimon Megamliel Omer, Eina Kosev, Ela Meshachar Kosev. That no, the Eved didn't do anything here. The Eved was a passive bystander. Therefore, the Meshachrer, Shimon, the creditor who benefited from the slave being designated as collateral, he is going to have to write a shtar to the master, al-damav. Rashi points out, when we say kosev shtar al-damav, it means only on the difference, right? Because the Eved was designated as collateral already, and therefore, the Eved, the value, the master, the first master sort of relinquishes his claim to the Eved by designating it as collateral. But Rashi says, what happens if he borrowed $50, but the only way he was able to get the $50 loan was by designating an Eved worth $100 as collateral? So the $50 for the loan, that he lost already, because either he has to repay the loan or he has to allow the creditor to foreclose on the collateral. Good. So the $50 is foreclosed. But how about now the other $50 that the second guy owes to the Eved owes to the first master? So when we say kosher shtar al damav, it means only on the differential between what the slave is worth and the value of the loan. So we had a machlokas now. Again, it's the second one who frees the Eved. We therefore force the first master to free the Eved so that it's very clear that he's chayiv in mitzvahs. And then somebody has to compensate the first master for the Eved, either the second master or it's the Eved himself. And now says the Gemara, B'mai Kamifligi, what are they arguing about now? B'hezek she'eino nikker Kamifligi, they're arguing about Hezek she'eino nikker. So Mar Savar Shmei Hezek, Umar Savar Lav Lo Shmei Hezek. So one says that it's called Hezek, the other says that it's not called Hezek, and if it's not called Hezek, therefore we're going to say that Shimon, the Meshachrer, doesn't have to pay, rather the Eved has to pay. So why does the Eved have to pay? Because we've said it's not fair, but after all, he does benefit because now he gets to go free, and therefore the Eved has to pay, himself. So Tosfos over here just points out that Hezek Shein Nikker is a Shas Machlokas. That's a Machlokas throughout Shas, and it seems as if we don't paskin consistently in cases of Hezek Shein Nikker. So therefore, Tosfos says there is Hezek Shein Nikker, and then there's Hezek Shein Nikker. So a case like this, where you free a slave, they're already, it's not necessarily nicker, but it's already nicker in that now the slave has a totally different status. Whereas elsewhere throughout Shas, where we talk about somebody who's metame the Esau of his friend, there doesn't seem to be any physical change to the item at all. So again, difficult to see why there's a physical change in any of these places. But Tosfos of here, Dibur HaMaskol BeHezek, is very careful to differentiate between this case and other cases of Hezek Shein Nikar throughout Shas. Says the Gemara, Ula my time lo amar kirav. Why doesn't Ula hold like Rav? Again, Rav is the one who says that the first master freed the Eved. Ula is the one who said that the second master freed the Eved initially. So why doesn't Ula hold like Rav? Samar lecha sheni rabo koris lei. Because the Mishnah had said, if you interpret like Rav, it says that if somebody designates his Eved as an apotiki, and the first one frees the Eved, and then Shuras Adin, the first one, Ruvain, is not chayiv anything to Rabo Sheni. It says the Gemara, Ula Maitaim Alo Amar Karav, Amar Lecha Sheni Rabo Karisle, because it says Shuras Adin Ein Eved Chayiv Klom La Rabo Sheni. But the Rabo Sheni is not a Rav at all, because Shimon is not a Rav at all. He never owned the Eved. That's what we've been saying the whole time. The title never transferred to Shimon, and therefore he didn't own anything. All he is a creditor who benefited from the Eved being designated as collateral. Says the Gemara, Rav, my time alone, Mark Ula. Why didn't Rav hold like Ula? Sarmer lecha, sheni, mishachar, karis lei. Because your whole fact pattern, says Rav, to Ula, is that the second guy freed the Eved. But according to us, the second guy never had any right to free the Eved because he never had any entitlement to free the Eved. Says the Gemara, Itzmar. Now, another case of apotiki. Hosa sada apotiki la'acherim. If a person makes his field into collateral for a loan, fishat fanar, and then the field is flooded out. So Ami Shaper Na, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Ami Shaper Na, Ami, who is very good looking, says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Eina Gova Meshar Nechasim, that he cannot collect from any other Nechasim because this field was designated as collateral. This field is now flooded out. So the lender is going to be out of luck. V'Avuah D'Shmuel Amar Gover Mishar Nechasim. And Avuah D'Shmuel says that he can collect from other Nechasim. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mishum Da'ami Shaper Nahu Amar Shmaita D'lo Shapirin. Because he's so handsome, he says Brisas, he says Membras that are not well thought out. In other words, the fact that he has one attribute doesn't mean that he knows how to learn. Because he said this Brisa, it doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, no, it does make sense. The Targim Shmaita Damar Le Lo Yecha Peron Elamizu. That there's collateral, and then there's collateral. So in other words, if he stam designated the field as collateral, as a piece of collateral, and then it flooded out, so even though it flooded out, he would still be able to collect from other pieces of collateral. But where he specifically designated this field as exclusive collateral, in other words, what we would call a non-recourse loan, that the recourse is only to this collateral, but not to anything else, then you can't collect from anything else. So what Ami Shaper Noah said is correct. In certain circumstances, it comes out. Tani Nami Achi, a similar braisa, Osa Sada Apotiki La'acher. If a person makes his field in Apotiki, designates it as collateral to somebody else, Veshot Fanar, and then it's flooded out, Segova Mishar Nechasim, he could collect from other Nechasim. V'yim Amar Lo Yehe Lecha Peron Elamizu. However, if he says that he's designated this as exclusive collateral, then in a gover mishar nechasim, then he truthfully cannot collect from other nechasim. Tani ida chos asadeh apotiki labalchov. If a person makes a sadeh into a apotiki for a balchov, ula ksuvas isha, or to pay the ksuva of his wife, Govin Mishar Nechasim, then he is able to collect from other Nechasim, even though he designated this field as collateral, because he designated it as a piece of collateral, but not as exclusive collateral. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Balchov Govin Mishar Nechasim, the Balchov could collect from other Nechasim, because he did not designate this as exclusive collateral. However, Isha Eina Gova Mishar Nechasim. However, a woman is not allowed to collect from her ksuba, not allowed to collect her ksuba from other Nechasim. Says the Gemara, why not? This doesn't appear to be fair. If you're going to give the Balchov the right to pursue other recourse, then why shouldn't we give the Isha the right to pursue other recourse for payment of her ksuva? Says the Gemara, Shein Darka Shal Isha Lachzor Al Batei Dinim. Because it's not the derech of women to pursue litigation in all sorts of Batei Din. In other words, what Rashi says is that if you have a chov, you have somebody who owes a chov, so really what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to collect from the chasim she'ena mishibadim. You're supposed to collect from the chasim which he still has in his possession. What happens if he no longer has any nechasim in his possession? Because he already liquidated all of his nechasim. So then the question is, and he sold all of his nechasim. So the question is, who do you pursue? You could collect from the lekuchos, you could collect from people who bought from this guy's estate, because his estate was encumbered by the obligation to pay the chov. Let's say over here it's the ksuba, but which of the buyers should you pursue? So the answer is you should pursue the one who bought last in time, because if somebody bought first in time, it could be that that fellow's purchase of karka from the bal chov predated his liability on the chov itself, in which case there is no right to collect from that guy. So the point, says Rashi, is that it's very difficult to figure out who exactly you should collect from, because if the guy has no karka left and he sold five pieces of karka to five different lekuchos, you're going to have to litigate with each one of them to find out, when did you buy it? Was he obligated? Should I collect from you? Were you the lokeach achron? Were you the lokeach rishon? A person doesn't want his wife to have to go pursue litigation in Beis Din, and therefore what? Therefore, explains Rashi, he designated this field as a exclusive collateral. So the reason that the Bal Chov is allowed to collect from other collateral is because the designation of collateral was never exclusive. However, the reason that the woman is not allowed to collect from other collateral is because over here, by the Ksuvas Isha, he designated this collateral as exclusive. Really, it was for her benefit to make sure that she shouldn't have to litigate in other Batei Din, but the drawback, the pitfall of having this designated as exclusive collateral is if the field is damaged, then you're out of luck. Then you can't go to other collateral to try to collect the chov. Okay, so that's the first topic. Now we get to the second topic on today's daf. So says the Mishnah as follows. Mi shechatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin. You have a fellow who's a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin because he was owned by Shutfim. He was owned by two partners. One of them freed the Eved. The other has not yet freed the Eved. Says the Mishnah, Oved es Rabba Yom Echad ves Atzma Yom Echad. So he works for the master one day, and the other day is his off day. He can do whatever he wants to on behalf of himself. Divrei Beis Hillel. That is the Shita of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Omrim. Beis Shammai says, Tikantem es Rabbo. You were mitakein the Rav. In other words, this makes sure that the one master who hasn't yet freed his slave isn't shortchanged. He'll still get the benefit of his bargain because the slave will have to work for this guy on the days that he's on duty. However, you've left this Eved in a bind. You've left this Eved in an impossible predicament. He cannot marry a Shivcha, Shekvar Chatzi Ben Chorim, because he's already a chatzi ben chorin. So we're going to come back to Tosfos over here, but let's just finish this specific thought in the Mishnah. He can't marry a bas chorin because he's still a chatzi eved. So let's flip back now. So Tosfos over here says, Lisa Shivcha ina yachal, says the Gemara, it says Tosfos rather, v'im tomar, afilu yachal Lisa Shivcha, ina makayim makach pruria verivia. That the Tosfos asked Sakasha, and the truth is I should have read one more line in the Mishnah, so let me flip over again. Sorry for the jumping back and forth, but let's read one more line. We basically said that he's in an impossible predicament. He can't marry a Shivcha because he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. He can't marry a Bas Chorin because he's a Chatzi Eved. And then it says, Yivatel Valo Nivro Olam Elulapiri Verivia. How could he sit idle? He's not going to be able to perform the great mitzvah of Peru Urabu. And Tosfa says over here, but I don't get it. Even if he was able to marry a Shivcha, he still wouldn't perform the mitzvah of Peru Urabu. So in other words, we're making it seem that the reason that he's not able to perform the mitzvah of Peru Urabu is because he's stuck. He can't marry a Bas Chorin, nor can he marry a Shivcha. comes along Tosfos and says, even if he was able to marry a Shifcha, he still wouldn't be Mekayim the mitzvah of Peru Ravu, as we see in Meseches Yevamos, that we have a person who had children before they became a ger, and then they become a ger. So everybody is, so over there, there's a machlokas, whether you perform the mitzvah of Peru Ravu, but by an Eved, everybody agrees that ein lo ya ein lo chiyas, there's no yichus after there's no yichus by a child that you have when you're an Eved, so you still wouldn't be able to perform the mitzvah of Peru Ravu. Tosfa says, you're right, you wouldn't be able to perform the mitzvah of Peru Ravu. However, at least you would be able to perform the mitzvah of Sheves. The mitzvah of Sheves, which we're going to see in a minute when we flip over to Mem Aleph Amud Beis, is a mitzvah not necessarily to have a boy and a girl like the mitzvah of Peru Ravu, but it's a mitzvah to populate the world. And if he was able to marry at least a shivcha, then he would be able to populate the world because he would be able to have kids with a shivcha, and therefore he would be able to fulfill that big mitzvah of Sheves. And then he would be able to fulfill that big mitzvah, and therefore, even though he taka would not be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Peru or Avu, we wouldn't penalize the owner and force him to free the Eved if the Eved was at the very least able to be Yotze the mitzvah of Sheves. Then comes along Tosfos and asks as follows: Mim Tomar Velesi Asay de Peru or Avu Velitchi Lav de Lo Yeh Kadesh. He says, what's the big problem? So he's a Chatzi ben Chorin, so we're saying he can't marry a Shivcha because he's a Chatzi ben Chorin. Okay, so you'll violate an Isser and you'll marry a Shivcha, but that way you could perform the mitzvah of Peru or Avu, because don't we say that Asi Yaseh V'dochi Lo Saseh, that Asi Docha Lo Saseh? So you have a great mitzvah of Peru or Avu, so that should be Docha the Lo Saseh of marrying a slave woman if you're a free person. So over here, Tosfa says that no, because it is there are many answers over here, because but what Tosfa says is that the fundamental principle of Asay Docha Lo Saseh only applies when the Asay and the Lo Saseh are violated be'idna at exactly the same time. So in other words, if in the exact same Maisa you're going to violate the Lo Saseh, but you're going to fulfill the Asay, that's when we say Asay Docha Lo Saseh. However, over here, says Tosfos, you violate the Lo Saseh at the Tchilas Bia, the second you start having Bia with the Shivcha, you're going to violate the Lo Saseh of Lo Yeh Kodesh, and you're not going to fulfill the Asay until the Gmar Bia. So therefore, the Asay can't be Docha Lo Saseh because it's not Be'idna. Other Rishonim say, we don't even know why Tosfos has to come on to this distinction between Tchilas Bia and Sof Bia. Peru Ravu is not a mitzvah that's fulfilled at the time. Peru Ravu is about having kids. So not only is it about having kids, it's about having also, according to some shitas, a boy and a girl. So you can't. So it's certainly not be'idna. Again, the only time that the asay is going to be docha lo saseh is when the asay and the lo saseh are contemporaneous. They happen contemporaneously. Here, they definitely do not happen contemporaneously. All right, so this was an important tosfa I just wanted to pause on. But again, let's flip over now to Mem Aleph Amud Beis. What we had said was that the Chatzi Eved of Chatzi Ben Chorin, he's stuck. He's in a bad predicament. He can't marry a Shivcha. He can't marry a Bas Chorin. So what's he supposed to do? He should not marry at all. But the world wasn't fulfilled. The world was only created, rather, for the purpose of Peru or Avu. Shenemar, and now here's a very interesting wrinkle. Shenemar lo so bara l'sheves yitzara, because the world was created only for Peru or Avu, because the pasuk says lo so bara l'sheves yitzara. So Tosfa says, well, this is weird. We're saying the world was created for Peru Ravu, and then we cite a Mishnah that talks about the mitzvah of Sheves, not even the mitzvah of Peru Ravu. So Tosfos over here, lo so bara, hadlo anokat kra de Peru Ravu, mishum di avi yachal akayim, Sheves koldu mishum mitzvahs Peru Ravu lo avi kafina le. Says Tosfos, in a Hanami, the wording in the Mishnah, the flow in the Mishnah is a little bit weird, but had he been able to perform at least the mitzvah of Sheves, then stam to be mahadrim and a mahadrin and to perform the mitzvah of Peru Ravu, we would not have forced the master to free the Eved. However, hacha kfina lake, the Barishno, but over here, because he can't even perform the mitzvah of Sheves, therefore, we're going to force the master to free him. Tosfa says then another answer, the reason that it says Lo Sabara L'Sheves, the reason that we quote the mitzvah of Sheves, is because it becomes apparent that Sheves is what's called a mitzvah rabba. And for a mitzvah rabba, we are going to force the other guy to free his eved. And then he quotes the Rivam later on in Tosfos. We don't have time to see it inside, but he quotes the Rivam, who says the reason that we cite the mitzvah of Sheves and not the mitzvah of Pru Ravu is because Pru Ravu is shayach only to a Jew. Sheves is shayach both to a guy and a Jew. So in other words, and if he can't perform the mitzvah Pru Ravu, we say, okay, good. So it's Sad Cheres can't perform the mitzvah Pru Ravu, but he's still Chatzi Eved. But even the Chatzi Eved part of him is Chayav in the mitzvah of Sheves, and therefore if he can't perform the mitzvah of Sheves, he's really stuck. Ella, says the Mishnah rather, Mimnei Tikkun Olam Kofenes Rabba V'yosa Osa Ben Chorim. Because of Tikkun Olam, we force his master to free him, and we turn him into a Ben Chorim. Says Tosfos, whoa, but there is an Isser of Li, there's a mitzvah, rather, there's an assay of Li'olam Bam Tavodu. So how are we going to say that the master should perform the assay, the master should violate the assay, rather, and free the Eved so that the Eved can perform a mitzvah? I thought, says Tosfos, we do not say, Chatei Kedei Sheyizke Chavrecha. We don't say, and the case that Tosfos brings down is the case in Gemara Shabbos about Hiddik Pas Batana, or some guy starts to bake on Shabbos, should somebody else come and rip the dough off the side of the oven before it has a chance to bake? But lahalach over there, we don't say chatei b'chtei sheyitzcha kavrata. So how come over here we're saying chatei, violate the asay of lola mem tavodu so that the eved can perform the mitzvah of sheves? Says Tosfos, because in one of these cases, the guy was a poshea, and the other case, the guy's not a poshea. The guy who put the bread in the oven right before Shabbos, he was stupid, he shouldn't have done that. This Eved didn't do anything wrong himself, therefore we will force the other master to free him. The Kostev Shara Chatzidamav, and the Eved has to pay basically for the value of being freed. V'chazru B'tzillah, Horus Kedev Rebbe Shammai. Then B'tzillah wound up paskening like Rebbe Shammai, they appreciated that shita. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hamashachor Chatzi Avdo. If a person frees half a slave, we're not talking about where he's owned by partners. The case in the Mishnah was where he's owned by two partners. One of them freed the slave, the other didn't free the slave. This is one guy who owns one slave, but he decided he's going to be a wise guy. He's going to free half the slave. Rebbe Amar Kana, Rebbe says he's Kona, and he's Taka Chatzi Ben Chorin. The Chachamim Amrim Lo Kana. The Chachamim say, you can't free half a slave. You can either free all of the slave or none of the slave. So Amar Rabba, Machlokas Beshtar. The Machlokas is only where he tries to free half a slave Beshtar. The Rebbe Savar, because Rebbe is going to Darshim Sukkim. This is by Shivcha Harufa. Vehefte Lo Niftasa. It's mashma that there's some sort of suspended state of hefte. She's redeemed, but she's not redeemed. O chupsa lo nitanla. Or there's a shtar shichur, but it's not a full shtar shichur. So ma kishtar le kesef. So we compare shtar to kesef. Ma kesef ben kulo ben chetzio. Just like by kesef, you could either redeem part of something or you could redeem all of something. It just depends how much money you give. So too, ashtar nami ben kulo ben chetzio. So too, using shtar, you could either redeem part of something or all of something. V'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan say, gamri lala me'isha. No, they make gzeir shava. They don't make a hekish of shtar to kesef. They make gzeir shava of an eved or a shivcha to an isha. Ma isha chatzio lo, af evenami chatzio lo. Just like there's no such thing as divorcing half of your wife, you can't free half of your slave. So aval b'kesef divrei akol kana. But divrei akol, everybody says that by kesef it's going to work. Peduya veina peduya, because she's redeemed and not redeemed. That's what the pasuk means when it says ve'efte lo nivdasa. It's like she's in like an in-between state. So lema ba'ka miflegi. So why don't we say that they argue like this? Demar savar akesha adif, that Rebbe says that it hekish is stronger than gzeira shava, and therefore we're going to be makish shtar to kesef, just like by kesef you can have partial pidyon, so too by shtar you could have partial pidyon, or partial freedom. Umar savar, and the chachamim hold that gzeira shava adifa, that gzeira shava is stronger, and therefore they say that just like by a woman you can't divorce half of your wife, so too by an eved you cannot free half of your slave. Says Gemara lo, dekuliyama gzeira shava adifa, everybody agrees that gzeira shava is stronger than hekish, v'shani yacha dika lemifra,
daf. Mal isha shekain ina yotza bekesef. Tamar bevech yotza bekesef. Everybody says that the gzeirah shava is going to be stronger, but I might think there's a basis for distinguishing between what you're allowed to do with a woman when you divorce her, with your wife when you divorce her, and what you could do with an eved. Because certainly an eved has greater capacity for redemption than a woman, because the only way to divorce a woman is through a get. An eved, you could relinquish, you could sever the ownership either through a shtar or through kesef. Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, machlokas be kesef. The machlokas is by kesef. In other words, unlike the first shita where we said the machlokas was by shtar, but by kesef, everybody agrees. Rav Yosef says, machlokas be kesef. The Rebbe savar of eftei lo neftasa. Rebbe says, eftei lo neftasa, therefore, p'duya veina p'duya. V'rabbanan savri, dibur Torah kolosha medei adam. That eftei lo neftasa doesn't mean that she's partially redeemed. That's stam. It's an embellishment on the wording, because dibur Torah kolosha medei adam. Alva b'shtar, dibri akol lo kana. But everybody agrees that by ishtar, there's no such thing as partial redemption. So meisvei hamishachor chasi avdo b'shtar. If a person is mishachor half of an eved with a shtar, Rebbe yomer kana v'chachamer yomer lo kana. Every year we see Beferish says a machlokes, and I thought you just told me, Rav Yosef, that by shtar everybody agrees that it doesn't work. So the Rav Yosef tiyufta. So yes, it is a tiyufta on Rav Yosef. B'shtaru de pligi, because they argue by shtar aval b'kesef lo pligi, but by kesef they don't argue. Lema tavit tiyufta de Rav Yosef patarti, because we said that there's a machlokes both by kesef and shtar. So says the Gemara, you're right. Amar lecha Rav Yosef pligi b'shtar v'adim b'kesef. They argue in both cases. V'adikam. Why then do we cite the machlokas only by shtar, not by kesef? To show the shita, the strength of the shita of Rebbe, that even by shtar, it is possible to have a half a redemption. Why don't we argue by kesef to show that even in that case, the rabbanon say that it's not redeemed? Because whenever we have a koach de'atera, we're always going to focus on that shita, and it takes a lot more certainty to be matir and say that there's such a thing as a half a redemption, even by shtar, and therefore we're going to focus on that shita and not the shita of the rabbanon, who say that a half an emancipation doesn't work both by shtar and by kesef. All right, so we'll stop here. We'll continue with more rias back and forth as to whether half emancipation works, God willing, tomorrow. If everybody has a great day.